I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like ish girls, hey, we the ish girls.
Hope your wops are happy. Happy wops.
What will make them happier? What will make them happier?
What will make
is signing up to X Girls. I mean, girls, come on. We are live streaming every single Monday this month. This is going to keep lockdown going. We're going to get November over and done with into some Christmas season, but it's €5 a month. So for €5 a month, you're going to get like access to 107 episodes, actually 108 now, episodes of X Girls podcast. You're going to get access to over probably at this time by around 16, 17 live streams, and then obviously access to all of our upcoming live streams. You can only sign up for 1 month if you just want some company for this lockdown.
Yeah, and it's what the Discord. We have recently brought in Discord, which is so great because it just brings in another kind of social element. So it's where you and all the other ex-gals can chat and get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And people are out here making friends. We've had ex-gal meetups just before this lockdown. They were going out for dinner. They've had their own Zoom quizzes. Like, it's a great way to meet people and like-minded gals.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's just a whole community over there. We love it. And we want to see you over there.
Yeah, so sign up now. It's on patreon.com/itgalspodcast. And it really is just a next level. If you know, one episode a week isn't enough for you, we always say it, head on over there. You're going to get so much more content, and we are loving making the content and the juiciest guests over
there. It's like It Gals but elevated.
Exactly.
Like, we had a stripper gal on last week.
Oh, she was so cool. Chloe.
She was telling us some crazy stories about being a sugar baby and wild stuff that she's experienced, and so fun and just great to be able to talk juicy shit with the gals.
And if you need more convincing, just listen to our recaps. We've started to do recaps. They come out on It Gals on Fridays once a month, and they have little clips, so you can actually hear now what the kind of stuff we talk about. So go listen to them. There's a September one and an October one, and
get the vibe.
Don't miss out on November. So this week, honey bunny, what are we talking about?
So we are obviously in lockdown, and I think everyone, you know, obviously everyone is missing some shit. We thought we'd make a like kind of positive spin on the whole, like looking back at like clubbing, what we miss about clubbing, and then like going right back and having a bit of a nostalgic moment and looking about like the clubbing scene when, like, say Jenny and I first started clubbing, because we put question boxes out and we got some memories and some clubs that like we haven't even been to that are like this mystery. This Dublin mystery.
So, yeah. So gosh.
And but first off, I put up a little question box the other day on my Instagram asking, like, I just was thinking about like the WhatsApp group. And, you know, because we were thinking about doing this episode of nostalgia and looking back. And I was like, sometimes I do find that our generation can be so like focused on like how much better everything was before social media, and they can be kind of like putting down, you know, the situation that we're in now or something. But I was like thinking about WhatsApp groups and how everyone has a load of WhatsApp groups. They're so intensely personal. Like, and they all have little names, and then you'll make another WhatsApp group. Like, this little subculture that we got going on is like so good. Like, imagine if our parents, like if our mums had WhatsApp groups with their friends called like titty ass.
Or, my mum's in a WhatsApp group.
Is she?
It's called like Tea Break Women.
My mum's in one with it. It's called like Cousins Squad. But then, so I asked like your craziest WhatsApp group name.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're just like, you don't even notice the name, like you'll make it as a lol, and then you'll see it will come up like as a drop down when someone's with you.
Yeah, because you get so used to it.
Yeah.
You get so like numb to it. Like, our one is called Grunge Girlos.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Grungy girlies.
We also have one, which is a really good one.
Oh
with
my
Evan.
Gosh. That
That's probably the most ridiculous name.
That is. That is so bad.
It's called Lick the Box and Leave.
Let's just give the background and the emote and the freaking picture. The WhatsApp group picture is iconic.
So
I think this WhatsApp group existed. It started, I think, before... Like you guys were an item.
It was when we were organizing the photo shoot with Evan.
And it was probably called like,
I think it was called photo shoot.
Yeah.
It was called nude shoot.
Oh my God. Yes,
always
it was.
Inappropriate.
Evan made it.
Yeah, no, I think we made it. We 100% made it.
And we called it nude shoot.
Yes,
oh
we called
my
it
God.
Nude shoot. We were like, we're going to do a nude shoot.
I thought he made it and he was being cheeky.
No.
I think he did on.
I really don't. I'd love to find
remember
out.
When we were in that pub? And we had texted him being like, hey, where are you? We'll pop up to the studio. And he was like, no, I'm going.
No, that was you just texted him. We didn't have the group then. We didn't have the group.
I think he made it after that. Anyway.
Anyway,
so it was called that for ages. And then I was seeing a guy that like Boo Boo Nunu. Boo
Boo Nunu.
And I would sometimes like forward ridiculous voice messages that this dude would send me.
The tea
and
of that relationship is all on X-Gals.
Yeah, literally.
That was the start of X-Gals.
That was,
well.
Yeah, we started X-Gals when I started hooking up with this dude and it's fucking such a gas story. His name is Zaddy. And yeah, so I would forward these flipping voice messages and one he was like, yeah, well, I come up and I was like, no, I have the kids. And he goes, help all the kids.
And I'll come up, lick the box and leave.
I politely declined, but Evan has like his Photoshop skills are crazy. So he photoshopped this dude's face on the baby of the Calpol.
So it's like he says Calpol the kids. Perfect fucking face, Calpol with this old man.
Yes.
And didn't he? Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
The group is called Lick the Box. And me and Evan, like, we'll always be together. And, like, Lindsay will text. And I'm like, do you see the thing Lindsay just sent in to Lick the Box? Like,
lick the box.
It's so
leave.
True, though. The more you, because, like, you reference your WhatsApp group names and, like, their meaning wears off. And then you say it around someone and they're like, sorry, what?
Yeah, or your mum has your phone for a second and, like, it comes down and she's like,
lick the box and leave.
What? It's a fucking box. My vagina. Yeah.
So do people send in gas.
So some of them are hilarious. Let's see. Destiny's Dole children. Arse wipers in brackets. We're all nurses.
That's
we've all fucked Aaron H.
I love that. Eskimo sisters.
Oh yeah, true. Let me see. Motsap. I like that.
Oh, Motsap. Right.
Very
I love a good pun.
Yes,
you know,
I do.
A good pun is great.
I do. Drug dealers. We work in a pharmacy. Anti-gravitational referred to how we would like our boobs to be like. No sex.
It's just like such an in joke.
Yeah,
I've got one that I'm in with two people that I used to work with, and it's called "Mommy?" question mark because we all started taking apple cider vinegar. Like this is how Laird goes. We all started taking apple cider vinegar at the same time, and the other way on the apple cider vinegar goes with the mother.
Yes,
we got obsessed with that.
And I
we
hate
kept
that.
Being like, "Does it have the?" It started off with like, "Does it have the mommy?" And then it was like, "Does it have the mother?" The mommy, and the our group was just called "Mommy?" question mark. It's so creepy.
It's so weird how like. Integrated your friendships go in terms of like how you bond with someone.
I love
you know?
The name of lads ones.
Oh, lads like ones are
Evans
great.
Evans in one call it LA Mincers. It's like guys he knows are LA, but like Mincers.
Mincers, that is.
And they're
gas.
All kind of older, so it's such a like, my dad would be like, the Mincers.
Someone has one called Fingers Crossed, Legs Open. I
oh
love
my God,
that.
Yeah,
that's
hoping
a cool
they get
one.
The ride.
Yeah, but saying like, I'll keep it quiet. Yeah. But 50 Shades of Slay. Face Sitters, Ode Minge.
Ode Minge. Oh. Ew.
Slut Drapes.
What?
They're just all. What's it? What's that? I can't say it. The movie. Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. Schindler.
Schindler. Schindler's Labia.
Schindler's Labia. Oh my God. Sacrilege.
Ridiculous. But like cum shots, another one. Like just everything is ridiculously sexual.
What's your most ridiculous name? Is it Lick the Box
I'd
and Leave?
I'd say it probably is. We have one called Indies with Balls.
We do, because we are Indies with Balls.
And it's where we slag people. It's fun. I mean, most of our WhatsApp groups are just slagging, you know? Like, I think in different WhatsApp groups, you slag different people.
Yeah, well, you have specific, like, the content. You know, read the room. Read the group.
Yeah, this is who we like.
Like, there's some stuff that I would send into Grunge Girls, but then there's some stuff that, to be honest, I'm sorry, Sarah and Fiona, it just goes to Lindsay, because I just know it ruffle feathers.
Yeah, yeah, we
and
don't
I know
need
Lindsay
that.
Will agree with me.
We don't need that again.
We really don't.
Yeah, there's some things that you're like, oof.
Yeah, it's like, I could send this in, but...
Yeah.
And do you know what? I hate it when you send something into a WhatsApp group and, like, no one pops off on it. And you're like, guys. And then, like, awkwardly, it's just lingering there in the group. I hate that. I'm a muter of groups.
Are you?
Certain groups, yeah.
Wow.
I'm a muter. I just... Okay. If there's more than, like, four people in a group, I can't with it going da-ding-da-ding-da-ding. Yeah. I really don't like that. So I'll mute for a year. I'll pop in. I'll read them. I just don't like to be...
The notifications.
Yeah, I was in one group that I had to leave. And I know some of my cousins listen to this podcast. I am truly sorry. But I was in a group, a family group. But all of my cousins... It's like all my cousins, all my aunties, like everyone in it. But like I have such an international family that these are living in Dubai and Australia. So there was no off time.
Oh.
So it was like... 24 hours of the day, because it was all the Australia crew would wake up, then the Dubai crew would wake up, then Ireland. It was just like was too much, so I had to actually leave the group.
Oh,
I know, that was called the Claffy Dashians.
Oh, that's good. They're so flippin' funny. Yeah, no, I have been known to leave a group for dramatic purposes.
Yeah,
and
you,
then
you like a dramatic full stop of like.
I think the last time I left Grunge Girls, I put in something like, hi, don't take this personal, Jenny. I have to leave. I just can't take the bullying anymore.
Of my sisters. Like, hey, Jenny, I'm leaving every WhatsApp group my sister is involved. I can't take the bullying.
Frankly, I will not stand for it anymore. So.
It is awkward when someone leaves a WhatsApp group. It's like awkward to keep it going. I do think if someone, like if it is a friend group, it's very hard to keep it going if someone leaves.
It's all, like, I mean, I always come back. I tail between my damn legs. Oh, yeah. I'm like, hello, girls. Sorry about that.
Dramatic effect.
But you know when someone leaves and refuses to come back? I have a few of those friends. Like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to come back.
The WhatsApp group.
It's like,
I'm like, guys, just call mute. Just
come back to the group.
Mute for 1 year.
And then they're always the ones who are like, tell me what's going on. What is she saying? Forward it to me. I'm like, are you in the group or not?
Yeah.
You have to be in the group.
If you're either in the group or fuck off. Yeah. Okay, if you're here for the group, like it's like in better for better or for worse.
Or you know when there's like shit going on in the group?
In sickness and in health. In mental health sickness and in good mental health.
You know when you're in the group and like say like there's a little ruffling of feathers. Mm. And like you'll go out of the group, and if someone's not like standing up for you, or if this always happens with me and my sisters, we'll be talking about something. I'll kind of present it. I'll be like, okay, I'm sick of talking about this behind people's back. I'm gonna casually say it in the group.
Yeah.
And my sisters are like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, what? Back me up here. And they're like, no, stop being so fucking aggressive in the WhatsApp group. I'm like, I'm just trying to sort the shit. They're like, we use our subgroup to discuss that. Yeah. I was like,
I know. You can't have a bitch bringing the subgroup chat into the main chat.
I know, it's not cool.
But
sometimes I just feel a bit like, let's air this out.
Well,
and not in a thing of like, I'd never do it like, oh, we're talking about you, this is the thing.
Of course.
If someone's
but
like,
it always comes out obvious like that. That's the thing. It's like, because I think when someone's talking in the subgroup, it's very obvious when that comes out, because it's like, look, we need to talk about this. And the other person's like, what? And it's like,
just, yeah, I know.
It always is very obvious that it's being talked
like
about.
Like it was a, we had a McDonald's gate a while ago.
Yeah.
And it was, shit went crazy.
Yeah.
Shit went wild because of a McDonald's breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And
who knew?
Who knew? That's the thing of WhatsApp groups. Random shit. Like, you're 1 minute you're fighting over, you're talking about ASOS. Then the next minute you're like, someone's leaving because of like a Trump conversation. 2 minutes later, you're like screen grabbing faces by Grace's latest thing, and like, lolly, you know, it's so layered.
It
and
is
that's
so
what's beautiful
layered.
About our culture, and definitely in lockdown, because my sisters, when I left the group, they were writing to me via iMessage because I had blocked them on WhatsApp. And I'm such a fucking dork. And yeah, they were like, you need to come back in the WhatsApp groups. It's all we have right
it's
now.
True.
I was like, oh God, that's depressing, but so damn true.
It's so fucking true.
And it really is a great way. I love them because it's a great way to like talk to so many people.
Yeah, and keeping up with people. Mm. You know, that way that you like, you know, those people that you don't really want to see.
Yeah.
Like in a bad way.
Or that you don't
way.
Even want to like converse with
Or it's just hard one-on-one
in WhatsApp, because sometimes it's like, oh God, she sends 8 minute long voice messages. It's big dialogues, the texts.
Yeah.
But in the WhatsApp group, it's like you're all, it's like, it takes a village to raise a kid. It takes a village to maintain a friendship in the WhatsApp group. But we, what did you put up on your quiz, the unbox?
So we want to talk about clubbing, right? And Lindsay, I know you're all about the positive spin, but I also do feel that there is a liberation in indulging in a little bit of the what you miss, because, you know, a lot of the time people can be like, let's make it positive. Our situation ain't positive right now. You know what I mean? And so we have to, you know, I think what inspired me and inspired Lindsay and I to talk about this, I will always remember, dear God, your father is a wise man, Lindsay. At the start of this lockdown, your dad was like, well, you can say goodbye to the rest of the year. And we were like, I know, oh, I was please, like, what, David. Are you on about? We were like, what are you on about? It's 2 weeks. Dear God, the man was right.
I can't believe it.
So
it's I wish he wasn't right.
It's November. My birthday's very soon. And that's always a time of year, because my birthday's close to the end of the year, right before Christmas. Yeah. It's kind of like, whoa, your reflective time. And I'm like, I cannot believe the whole year is just gone. And it's coming into like party season as well, right? So this is usually the time, right?
You're
in December,
gearing up
for the fucking night.
Because we usually have your birthday that we do something.
Yeah. And then it's like Christmas craziness, you know, that way. So we want to talk a little bit about, like, what does everyone miss about that? Because I think that, like, I keep referencing, like, Miss Rona as, like, it's going to be, like, 9/11, for want of a more grim. But, like, you know the way, like, that changed travel forever.
Yeah, no, I get it. You explained that to me the other week and it made sense.
Yeah, so Corona is going to change, like, there's going to be stuff, it's going to change socialising forever. You know the way? Like, I think, like, when you look back on, like, clubbing, of, like, the minginess, sharing cigs, being all over each other, like, that now in this world is so, like, whoa, I can't believe we did that. So I think I put up basically being, like, what do you miss about a good old-fashioned fucking
Nairo. And, like, dear God, there's nothing more that this year needs other than a big fucking sesh. Like, I think it would just, nature is healing vibes.
Nature,
you know,
is healing.
We were able to just, like, blow off some steam. There's nothing I love more than, like, going out and just wrecking yourself.
I know.
And coming back and, like, I'll take the come down, I'll take the hangover, I'll take it all.
Yeah.
I want those random bruises from, like, falling down a bleeding club stairs. So we're first going to talk about, like, missing the club. And then we're going to go back into some, like, nostalgic old timing. Like, because it's just gas. Like, I totally agree things will change. Like, you know, Miss Rona has come in and shaken her shit. And it's going to, like, change things, you know. And we've never been so aware of socialising since this. And aware of, like, touching and all that kind of shit.
So,
but I think, like, it's mad to think, looking back even then, how things have changed in our timeline of clubbing.
Totally.
So we will absorb and adapt to the new
normal
way of clubbing.
And, like, it'll be normal, you know, the ways, and, like, you get over it, you know, that way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh no, I can't bring my shampoo in my hand. Little.
When did I ever need 600 mil bottle of shampoo for a week away?
Yeah.
So I'm going to read out. I've screen grabbed about 12 or so little memories that I think will also inspire some stories from us, which I think will be fun. This one made me lol. Kissing the tuk-tuk man for a free lift to McDonald's Grafton Street after the club's closed.
Oh my gosh, there's nothing more fun than those things. What are they called?
Tuk-tuks.
No, but they're also called something else. You know?
Oh, fuck. What are they
called?
Everyone's screaming it.
I know. Everyone's like,
I can't remember, but no, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the things that you're pulling, they're pulling you along. They're on a bike, and there's the little, like, seats, and they are so fun. I think me, you, and James Kavanagh were on one night.
And me and James.
Me, you, and James.
I wasn't maybe on that one. Yeah, yeah.
And I just, as soon as I'm in one of those things or on whatever, I can't stop laughing.
The funniest thing, I know, so I can't stop laughing. I feel like everyone, I feel like a rock star. I feel like everyone in Dublin's jealous of me. And I also love, like, what they always remind me of back in the day, getting on them and, like, thinking you could barter with them.
Oh, I know. Well, they didn't have a prize for you.
I think they do. Like, because I remember them always just being like, it's €5. And we were like, I'll give you two. And he was like, it's five. We would always.
And they're dragging our fat asses.
I know. What's a classic tuk-tuk journey would be from bottom of Grafton Street up to, like, Camden Street.
Yes.
A classic. Like,
because that's a head-wrecking journey when you're pissed.
If you're going to, like, Opium or anywhere around there. Especially because, like, I always would feel like it would make me really sober if I was kind of lit. you know, that way. And then if I had to walk there, it would make me so like, come on, let's get me up there. Or obviously from also like top of Harcourt Street down, as this girl saying, down to McDonald's.
Yes.
That's like the classic tuk-tuk.
And have you ever been in a tuk-tuk and you're like on your way to McDonald's or like to the Nightlink and you're like, oh, can you just drop me home?
Yeah, my cat wished to climb tarp.
But like, it's such a hard job. They're on a push bike. And they're carrying like three drunk people who are flailing around in the back. Like, that must be so hard.
Like 7-Up branded.
Yeah. So true. So random.
Oh my God. But yeah, no, we kissing them. I've known girls to be schnogging an ale tuk tuk, man.
Yeah.
They were
long. A lot of them were hot.
They're like couriers by day, tuk tuk. Yeah.
And now I think they're like delivery drivers.
Yeah.
Do they still exist? Like,
I don't see. I feel like I just haven't been. I don't know if I've been in town. That's a very sad thing.
Yeah.
In prime time, I don't think I've been in town past like midnight in 2020. I wasn't drinking in January.
Yeah.
February, I wasn't really going on a night out. We had our show and then it closed down.
Yeah, true. I can't remember.
So like, bar the odd few, like when it was back open again. But even then, I wasn't really like, it wasn't the same. So I haven't been around.
I hope that they come back because I'm dying to get in one now.
I know.
They're so fun. Like, it's like a little mini roller coaster ride. Yeah. Like, I lol. Oh my goodness. You know those things which I would kill for one of us to have like a hen party and go on that thing? You know, it's like an open kind of vehicle.
Oh, the bike thing.
Yeah, they're all like, are they moving the fucking thing? Like, that's insane.
Oh, I don't think, I wonder, are they the only thing that's moving it? But you do move it. I always wondered, would you get a stitch?
Probably.
Because you're like drinking.
I know.
And there's a man, just the barman in the middle.
It's like, so on, random. It's like the Viking splash for hens.
Yeah. I think I would get vertigo because you're like cycling, but you're going sideways.
Yeah.
I feel like
true.
I'd get car sick.
And I love that you just like, you'll see all the girlos cycling by.
I know. And you're like, and they're like, oh, it's the music's always blaring for them. Yeah. It's so funny when the music is blaring for them, but they're kind of quiet.
Yeah, it's a pretty low key hen. The girl's like, let's get fucking molten. Yeah. The girls are like, oh,
and they've all their sashes on.
Oh, the sashes.
Let's see another one. Oh, this is gas. Everyone knows one of these bitches running away from my friends to find a mysterious group of friends for the night.
Oh,
I used to do that when I was younger.
Really?
I'd leg it for my friends, and I'd be like, hanging out with these randomers. And that would give me the biggest fear.
Oh, really?
Because you wake up and you're like, why didn't I just talk to my friends for the night? Instead, I went up to this. And like in your mind, when you're like a few blue wickeds in, you're going up to these girls. You're like, hey, girls, would you like a new friend for the night? And in your mind, they're like, yes, queen. But when you look back in it the next morning, sober as hell, you're like, they were all like, who the fuck is this girl?
And
she won't leave.
I think that would have happened back in the day when it's kind of like there was someone that you wanted to be pals with on the periphery of your friend group.
Yeah, and you'd know them from Facebook.
Yeah.
And you go up to them and like, you would think they're really cool. I saw your trip in Barcelona. They're like, what? I saw your trip in Barcelona.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the pictures.
I'm sorry about your breakup. I saw that you deleted photos of him. He's so hot, your ex-boyfriend. You're really pretty too. Like, just talking shit.
Because I've also been in the group of people that have had that person come up to, you know, when you're going out with your friend, it's like someone just randomly decides to join your group and you're like, who the fuck is that?
And then they're like at the after sesh as well.
They're like, where are we going?
You managed to scurry your way in here. Fair play.
Oh, God. Catching the fella you're talking to, getting with another girl. That has happened me on nights out. It reminds me of back in the Dizzy.
Back in the Dizzy.
Do you know it's real? Like, you're kind of scoring a guy or texting a guy. And you, like, kind of know the night. Like, this was like a club night that, like, you'd all go to. Like, every Wednesday you'd be here. So you turn up on a Wednesday and you're, like, looking hot, really sexy. And you turn up and he's, like, talking to some girl. You're like, I'm sure that's just his friend.
The last 3 weeks of texting mean
and
nothing to you.
You know when you're trying to do the like OTT dancing their like, oh, you're like, argh.
Or just like laughing and like being cool in the corner with your friends.
Yeah. And then like you'd be like, has anyone, random I know, but has anyone seen Brian tonight? They're like, yeah, he went home with a girl about an hour ago. You're like,
Or when, this is what I remember from like clubbing back in the Dizzy, when like you'd be hooking up with someone and it's that weird kind of like crossover of like, are we a secret thing.
Yeah.
You know, when
is
it's
this
like
just an end of the night thing?
Or is this is like, because it would be pretty public for us to be like snogging in this nightclub, yeah, snogging in front of all of our mutuals.
So true.
So I remember like I'd be hooking up with this guy, this one particular guy, I'm gonna do the impression so you know who I'm talking about. And I was like mad about him and wanting the kind of like
public
to be seen. Yeah. And we had been hooking up for a good while. And like a couple months or whatever. And I was like, saw him in the club. We were together at this club. And I was like, hey, so what are you doing? Like, do you want to come back to mine? Will I go back to yours? Like, we'd been doing that continuously. Yeah. He was like, no, no. Tonight, I'm out.
I'm out.
And I was like, okay.
Like, out, out.
Like, no, he's out. So it was kind of like, I totally that's all he had to say. And I just was like, whoop, back in
like,
my box.
I'm just not coming back to yours. I'm out for the night, kind of.
I'm out. And when I'm out, I'm out. And you have nothing to do with that kind of thing. I was like, oh, I getcha. It was him basically asserting his presence of like, I call the shots.
Oh.
Whew, it was chilling. It was chilling.
Chilling. Chills down.
And he also gave a sly dig because I was drinking Bulmers out of a straw. And he was like, oh, trying to get pissed out. Because you know everyone says that like you get pissed quicker with a straw.
Oh, yes, that was such a gas flex.
I'm trying to get like as if like drinking the same liquid a different way would get you drunker.
It's also like I'm a girl with a full face of makeup,
yeah,
and I don't want to be chugging a can when it's spilling down the sides of my mouth because dear God, that happens to me every time.
Every time.
All down my dress.
I know. So that that's a weird one when you're like, okay, so we are kind of secret right now.
Has it ever happened to you where you're in a club and the guy you're like is schnogging someone else? It's so annoying. It's happened to me a good few times back in the day. It would be like where I'm seeing a guy and you're kind of like, oh, he's here, yay. And then like you are like, even you're texting and then you just kind of look at the corner of your eye and he's like over there talking to some girl and you're like, oh, fuck. Like,
I think it's happened to me where I have done it and it also doesn't feel good. You know, when you, if I was like hooking up with someone and then
and they're there,
hooking up with someone else and then I've been caught kind of.
Ooh,
it's happened a couple times.
Nasty.
Which is awkward.
I want to know, this is a Dublin classic right here, Lynn.
Okay.
Going to the Indian for a bottle of wine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. They are the best in Temple Bar.
And they're always rotten.
And they're always open.
Always open. And, like,
and there's so many indies in that fucking
That's like
Indian.
A rite of passage in going out in Dublin.
Yeah.
Like, have you been in a taxi on the way to an after party? They've no drink and you're like, we'll pop in the Indian. And it's like, it's always like 7% wine. Like, it's not like,
it's like
an
a dessert
actual
wine
bottle
kind
of
thing.
Wine.
It's Is
like,
it?
Yeah, it's not like full wine. Anytime I've gotten it, it's never been actual wine. It's so weird. It's always like really sweet, but it's not a dessert wine because that's stronger. It's like not that strong.
Weird. You see, it could be cat piss and I wouldn't know at that stage of the night. I'm like, just any liquid.
Oh, no, I know. You're like, but it's like a specific wine.
And there's
that
so many people in that place at the end of,
I know,
like when shit is closing. They must get such dead, and you don't notice how much a bottle is. 45 euros, thank you.
Oh, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
It's always like 20, they sell it at restaurant price. It's like 30 quid for a bottle of wine.
But you know you're with the cool gang if they know the fucking,
the
if they know
to,
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I couldn't pick it out.
I know. I always need to be brought there.
Yeah, it's like.
I've been there so many times, but I.
It's like the line, the witch in the wardrobe.
It is.
In Temple Bar, it's like
I know it's
in
Temple Bar, but I wouldn't know why the fuck
bring
it is.
You there.
Or is it like a green kind of outdoor?
I think, but it could also be red.
And you kind of walk up this little
stairs.
Slope kind of thing.
Stairs? I don't know.
I don't know, but yeah, it's like I need to be brought there. I pretend I know where I'm going.
I'm
they're like, will we go Chinese or the Indian? I'm like, yeah,
the Indian, yeah,
slinking behind. So I'm like, well, following you because I don't know where to go.
It is a classic though, and I mean, honestly, a lifesaver.
It is. Fair play to those lads.
Oh yeah, this is a good one. So making friends in Zaytoon on Camden Street, just Zaytoon memories. Where, Lindsay, when you were in your heyday of clubbing, was your go-to after spot for
a bit of munch?
I hate that.
I fucking hate it, but I
munch.
What? Like, I don't need to know that you're
like munch.
You're munching the food.
It's
I assume you are chewing
it. It's like the opposite of sexy, that word.
Munch.
Isn't it? I'm gonna have some munch.
Like, I can hear you eating.
Like, drunkenly slobbering.
Oh God, I think and McDonald's is my favorite. Like, McDonald's is so satisfying.
McDonald's, I would say. Now, when I started going out, the go-to, because I started going out in Doran's, Eamon Doran's, which also became Madonna's. Do you remember they had DeFontaine's beside that pizza?
Oh, and it was the most delicious thing.
Iconic. That was number one. Then it became McDonald's. But I would
Ray's also.
Ray's pizza, huge moment in my life.
Yeah, really big moment and really big slice.
The
and
one
that's
up
why I liked
on,
it.
One up in Portobello near Crawdaddy.
Yeah.
That was the main one. But also I've frequented many. Oh my God, maybe we can put up that video of us.
In
Ray's?
Yes, oh my goodness, so we're wearing stick on nails and we're like
we
trying to.
We had full on acrylics on.
Got them deals.
And then also I've been known to frequent the odd time, this would be very rare, that chipper on Camden Street.
Yeah.
The music would always be pumping out of it. There was always people dancing on the tables.
I was a Charlie's moment.
Oh, I did a Charlie's.
I did like a Charlie's, but.
Once. Oh, I have the. Oh. Really cringe. Oh, it's so bad. So bad. Went to Charlie's one night. I think it was like the summer of sixth year. So I was like, after my leaving cert, going out, partying. Okay. My family at the time, we were renting a house because we were like doing the house that my family home now currently live in. And we had sold our old house kind of vibe, you know. So we were in limbo in this house. And I remember going out, eating in Charlie's. Oh, this is so bad.
Gosh.
And in the middle of the night, feeling so sick. And my bedroom at the time was at the front of the house. And I opened the window and puked down the house. And I thought I just went in the garden. And the next morning, I just heard my dad being like, what the fuck? It was like a red stripe of fried rice.
No.
Damn it. I haven't been able to go near Charlie since.
Really?
No. Apparently though, Evan was telling me he knew a girl, and I think it's Cantonese food, isn't it? And she was like Cantonese. Her family were from like that part of China, and she was like, it's like insanely authentic, their food.
Fair play.
For that area of China. So fair play.
Loved it. Loved
but yeah,
to hear
Charlie's
that.
Was a moment, I remember.
I loved when, like, say, if you hooked up with a guy in the club, and then you go for your food before going back to the Gap, and it's kind of like you're on a date.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like very
it's like
nice
we
in the city.
Kind of are going out for dinner. Right
you're
now.
Like, nah.
Like, I've been in Charlie's opposite a guy and been like, this is a full on date.
And there's always like fights going on.
I know.
And you're like, it's kind of good because you see how the guy reacts to the fight.
Yeah, no, you really get a gauge. Is he kind of caring?
Yeah, is he caring? Is he wanting you to stop?
Yeah.
Or is he like, come on, get the fuck out of here?
Yeah. Fuck off, lads. Fuck off, I'm trying to eat me dinner. That's what you want. You want him to push him away from the little circle table.
You do. Another great memory I have, probably one of the best memories of. After clubbing food was myself and Leanne went to war one night, and we would go to war and spend all of our money. Like we'd go out with like €15, mind you. Like we'd go out with fucking nothing, and because we'd be out money or not, you know, that way it would just be a bus fare in, a nag in, and then we'd get free in, and then it was just like we'll find our way home.
Yeah.
And once we did that, had no money, and I remember we were like, what are we going to do? And like, we ran into this guy she knew. We were at the time in our early 20s. He was a bit older, like 25 or 6. In our mind, he was like an old man, but she knew him. I can't remember how. But he was like a lawyer, like worked, you know?
Okay.
And like, Leanne was like, we've no money. We're going to walk on the Clontarf. And he was like, I'll give you some money. And she was like, no. And she was like, he always gives me money.
Oh
like
my God.
He would save our ass a few times. And he went to an ATM, gave us, I think he gave us like €40 or something.
Whoa.
Or like he gave us, anyway, a lot of money for back then. I remember there was a €20 note involved and we were like, what the fuck? And he gave us that and he left. And then we were like, cool, so we can get a taxi back to Clontarf. And then we just looked at each other and Liam was like, or we could still walk home and just spend it all at McDonald's. We went into McDonald's and ordered like the entire menu. Like we had fillet of fish, we had a chicken burger, we had like two Big Macs, we had fucking everything. And then I think we still walked home. We were like, yay.
Well, walking home to Clontarf is okay. I remember once me and Jimmy walked home when I lived in Marino, and we were walking home and then we were going over
it can be
the bridge.
Dodged though.
It can be dodged. Yeah. We're walking over the bridge, you know, at Fairview Park.
Yeah.
And there's this lifesaver thing, like it's an orange ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy was like, oh, that's so cute. We could hang that in your living room. He took it off. Within 30 seconds, he got arrested. And I was like, what the fuck? They were like, that's an offense. I was like, what?
Because if someone's drowning, you've nothing to throw in and save them.
He was locked up for the night.
Locked up.
They literally handcuffed him. They handcuffed him, threw him in the back. They wouldn't bring. I was like, where are you taking him? They were like, we're taking him name. Like, they didn't even take him to the local fucking station.
What?
They took him like out of town.
What?
So weird. Gas though. Because we were walking home. And like sometimes I'd cycle in, park my bike,
oh, yeah.
get pissed, and be like, also I go home to Marina. And I flipped over my fucking handlebars.
Did you?
Oh, it was so sore. My knees were like covered in bruises God. And like triple the size. And like so many people saw because I was like cycling on the path. Like
the dreads.
I flipped over and like it was like, you know when you're like, whoa, that must have looked really intense yeah. in a fall. Like I fully went flying and everyone, like people rushed over and I was fine because I was so drunk. You know, I couldn't yeah. feel it.
You're okay.
But I faked dead for a while because I was embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, pretend it's way worse. Just, so they actually, I was like, I don't want to talk to these strangers right now.
Yeah, you don't want them to laugh. It's like, see, I could have died.
Yeah, I was like,
from my own wrong.
I did that when I fell off a horse as well before.
Did you?
I fell off a horse when I was a teenager and like, it didn't hurt, but I went flying off this horse God. And I was so embarrassed. I just faked dead for a while.
Yeah, you're like, see, no need to laugh. I yeah. could have died. This is gas. I remember this is such a gas memory. The moment of just getting past the bouncer and into an unreal club in your best outfit. You know when you're like going into a club and you've been at pre-drinks and you're like, yes. and you're like, they're really strict in some club and you just go up to them and he's like, go on in. You're like, thank you
so much.
I used to walk up like years after I was 18, woke up basically passport in hand. Like, It's me.
Oh my goodness, I remember, like, it's mad that you're bringing your fucking passport out. Like,
I've never had any other ID. Well, now I have my driver's license thing.
Oh,
but
handy.
Like, yeah,
yeah
handy.
I never. What was that one called that you could get?
The age card.
The Garda card, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I never got one of them.
I never got that.
Never got
it
one.
It was too many, like, well, things to fill out.
I remember I tried to get one once and, like, got the pictures. Really sorry, random story, but it was annoying.
Gardaí, I'm annoyed at this.
So you had, there was all this shit you had to do to get it. I remember it was really annoying.
Yeah, no, it was like, just give me a fucking age card.
And like, you should just get them when you're 18. Like, you should just send you one.
I
come
know.
On, I'm a citizen of this country. Taxpaying citizen. So, but I remember I went to the Garda station, applied, gave them my forms and gave them my pictures and paid whatever fucking amount of money was. It never turned up and I went to the Garda station. They were like, you've never applied for that. I'm like, so you just took my money. Obviously the guard just pocketed the fucking money and then like there was another time I tried to do it and they're like, you actually submitted four photos, you know, the way the passport photos on one thing. He was like, they have to be cut. And I was like, you won't cut them. He was like, no, sorry.
That's so weird. It was hard to obtain.
Yeah, so
no
I was
one
like,
had it.
Fuck that shit.
No one had that fucking
thing. Okay, so this is another one, gas one. Intending to go for one drink and ending up at home at 7 a.m. after four bars and a lock-in. I love those nights.
Lock-ins are so rare.
Lock-ins are very rare. We were actually at one.
We were.
It was a good one.
It was a fun one.
But
they are amazing.
Yeah, they are really, really cool. I
you feel like the elite.
The Bernard Shaw would do the odd lock-in. I love the like rumor. There's gonna be a lock-in.
And who's getting chosen?
Yes,
it's intense. You're like, please.
I love that though, going out for one and staying out all night. Remember we did that? I remember the last time we did that, it was actually, well, probably not the last time, who am I joking, but I remember an iconic time. I remember I just finished work. The next day I had my MRI for my knee and our first live show.
Yeah.
And I stayed out for fucking ages. I went out with Jack to an art opening, then I went to the Gouloton, and then I went to Club Comfort, dance below 21 year olds, and I was like 3 a.m.
I love those nights when you're just kind of like meeting people that you kind of half know, and they're like, come along here, and you're like, okay, I'll join y'all.
This is another one because I have a question for you on this. Running from the smoking area inside when your song comes on, what in the do you remember back in the day what one of your songs were?
It was Last Night by The Strokes.
Oh, a good one.
Yeah,
when you hear that ding 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 ding,
yes,
ding,
like, I would be like a moth to the DJ booth. I was like, I need to dance.
For me, one of the main ones I remember would be me and James Kavanagh, Bad Romance with Lady Gaga. When that would come on in war, which it did every time.
Oh,
they played
the
same songs every week, but it was great.
Yeah.
We would be like climbing over people on the stairs and spy to get in and dance.
And actually dancing, like trying to dance. Like when I was at war, like I was properly dancing.
I was dancing
no
like I was in the
anymore.
Slave for You video.
Yeah, like
the only
like,
point of that night was to dance. There was nothing else to do.
And, like, that was the best thing about clubbing because, like, you'd be coming back dripping in sweat. So all the fucking alcohol and Charlie's or McDonald's that you've consumed is gone.
Yeah.
Like, and then
I'd be sober by the end of the night.
And somehow
I was also broke, so I'd have one drink throughout the whole night.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So goss.
The tipsy smile you do alone when peeing in the club.
I hate when you go into the bathroom and then it like compounds how pissed you are.
You're like lit to the clit.
And you're just like peeing. Sorry. And you're like, oh my God.
And you're trying to be overly sober, but acting more and more drunk.
You're just like more aware of how, it's like you're alone with your thoughts for a moment. Yeah, like the club noise is like deafening from downstairs.
Yeah,
and you're like,
doof, doof.
And you're just like, I'm so fucking pissed.
I'm lit. How am I? And then you look at the clock and you're like, it's only 12. How am I going to stay here for 3 more hours?
It's tomorrow.
Burn this, Scott. Burning the ear off someone from primary school in the smoking area.
Oh,
always.
My gosh.
It's like such a Christmas thing.
Yeah, Christmas I love that about Christmas when like everyone who's like been living in Canada comes back, all these people, you know? And yeah. It's just like, everyone's so drunk at Christmas as well, which is great.
Do you know who the most annoying group of people are to come home at Christmas? Now, sorry, girls, I know there's a load of you. The London crowd.
Oh, no, they are.
They're the most, they're like, hi, how are you? Sorry, got a bit of a twang.
In it.
Yeah, they're like, in it, yeah, bruv. I'm like, sorry, and you're from Beaumont.
Total different style.
Yeah.
They'll have like a little neckerchief.
They look
on.
Great, in fairness.
No, they do. I'm like, fucking hell, I'd love to just go over to London.
Like, I always think great, and then the London girls come back home from fucking Shoreditch, and I'm like, I look like a pink tart.
You've really freaking refined your damn style.
They always also make me feel like a drag queen because they wear barely any makeup, and I think I'm looking natural, and then I'm like, the colour of my orange skin against theirs.
The tan with the like flipping cosmetic.
Yeah. And then last one before we move on to your little memories, Linz, something that you and I are very fond of doing.
Okay.
Saying I'm going to the toilet, running out of the club into a taxi. Home to my bed. Night
night.
Night night. I used to live for doing that.
Let's think of some memories when you did that and how people would react. Because there's different kind of, there's like, I think it should just be a given because sometimes in the group there's just the girl who always leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Let her go.
There's one girl who will always go home before, like they'll never stay to the end of the night.
Yeah.
And fair fucking
and they never
to
say
them.
Goodbye. Yeah. And I don't think you should.
We used to call it Houdini'ing.
Yeah.
We used to, in our group, we'd be like, someone, this girl we knew, always Houdini'd every single time. Just know that she'll do that. It's grand. Let her do it.
I know.
The worst is the people who are like, no, come on. Because like that's what makes you
Houdini.
That's
why you don't say goodbye. Yeah, because they're going to be like, no, why?
And also, let's remember, it's very ingrained in our society. It's called an Irish goodbye.
Yeah.
That's what that's called. It's Irish people are known. That is gas. I know. Irish people are known for doing it. Because what it is because while an Irish goodbye is ingrained in our society, so is the pressure to stay out.
Yeah.
So that's why it comes from.
And there's no excuse to go home. Yeah. Even if you're like, no, I have work tomorrow, they're like, oh, sure, fucking stay out.
Yeah,
grand.
Like, I'm in work at 6. They always do that. Sure, I'm in work at 6. And it's like, okay, but you do this every week.
Yeah,
I will be done. And we also, you're not my boss.
I know. And I'm like, I don't know how you are running on that.
I know. And then what they'll do is they'll stay to the end. They'll be like, ah, fuck, I'm not going to work tomorrow. And
yeah, you're like oh,
but you're in work at 6. I'm in work at 7 and now I have to go.
I know. No, I... Or when you're being very cheeky, girl. You know when your girl... Like when you're all single. Back in the day when we were all single, one of us got a whiff of a dick and then we'd be like, doop.
Oh.
Where's Lindsay gone?
Yeah.
Where's Lindsay? Oh.
You're allowed. There's nothing worse. Like, okay, fair enough. On a girl's night out, I do... There's very layered here. Layered moment.
Yeah, let's peel it back.
On a girl's night out, it is annoying if one girl is on the girl's night out and she's on the mad dick hunt. It's like...
Yeah.
When we've dedicated this night, you know, for the girlies, especially if you haven't seen you in a long time, maybe your first night out after COVID, girls, don't be... I understand you
dick
all want to get laid. But that's what Tinder's for, okay? Have it lined up for the end of the night, by all means.
My rule with dick hunting, first of all, don't hunt for a dick.
No.
Second of all, I think you should be doing that shit in your own time.
Totally.
I don't like when the gals are bringing in their stresses about guys. Like, you know the girl who's like, let's go out and get with guys. I'm like, yeah. Well, now we won't, because you're like so desperate. Like, you don't go out with that intention.
Yeah, because you also can't. What's the point in being like, let's go out and do XYZ when the XYZ is completely unreliable? Like, you can't rely on that. First of all, there's even going to be a hot guy
that
in the club
that you are attracted to, yeah.
And also, good clubs, like clubs with hot guys in them, are bad clubs. Like, the good clubs are the good clubs with the gay men in them.
Yeah, or sometimes like those damn, that club lighting can make any bastard look good.
Yeah.
And then like, you know when you're like,
you lower your standards too, because you're desperate to get with someone, because otherwise then
if that's
the
your
night
intention,
out is a failure.
I never ever go out with that intention.
No.
Never.
Not since I was very young. I remember we used to do it all the time. Dear God, it was a dry year.
We tried our darndest.
Because we were desperate.
You see, a woman should never dick hunt.
No.
Never, ever, ever.
Only on Tinder. And like, so I hate that. So, but then also, right, so say you're on the girls' night out, okay? And you happen to, I don't know, get chatting to a guy or whatever. That's fine. That can happen. And also, you know, we all know a good looking lad.
Sometimes,
hard to find.
Yeah, sometimes you just meet someone and like.
And you, or maybe especially if it's someone you already knew. Now, real. With sub rule within this rule,
yeah.
Don't be bringing the lad over to the girls group. Don't be bringing all the lads over. A fucking, especially as
don't
someone,
be trying to impress your lad by using us.
No, and also
we're not your cock
bait. Don't like try one of my most hated. Don't try sell me their friends as hot when you know you're getting with the hottest one.
And he just won't let you come back to the after session unless you bring us fucking four girls.
Yeah, and don't also, as someone who's been in a relationship. Please don't expect your girls who are in relationships to entertain their boring mates. Like, that's annoying. Like, I'll do it to an extent. You know the way, if you're friends with a guy and you're like, oh yeah, Dermot, ha ha ha, blah, blah, blah. But it's nothing more annoying than when your girl fucks off with a lad and you're left in a relationship talking to two of their friends who, like, you're also like, oh, when do I tell you that, like, by the way, I have a fella. You
this
know,
isn't
that way.
Going that way.
And then your friend can get pissed off with you, but being like, fuck's sake, why did you say that?
I know.
Because like, he was trying to touch my leg.
Yeah, because I do.
Yeah, because I'm a fella.
Sorry.
And like, I thought we were on a girl's night out. So if you find a guy on a girl's night out, I think line it up. That's grand. Like, okay, why don't you give me a text at 2 or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm going to go meet my girls. You have your night out. I'll have my night out. Text me. Tell me where you're going.
Yeah, like
you
keep it chill.
And, yeah. And also, but then, you know, on the other side, as the girls on the girls' night out, let your friend leave. I think like after 1 a.m. Let them.
Because you're in a situation sometimes, and I do get it. Like sometimes if a girl has like met a hot guy, she's nogging the face off him and she's like, look, this dick could slip through my fingers. Yeah. I need to secure this D.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I probably should like party, but like I actually have this offer right now.
Yeah, but know? I think the girl should stay out till around 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Like don't be fecking off at 11. I hate that shit. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, especially, you know, like, way? I mean, that's where it gets difficult, where, like, if you want to go out as a twosome.
Yeah.
Because, like, you need more, a gaggle of girls to be able to maintain.
Minimum
that,
three.
Yeah. That people are going to, like, you know, drop ship.
Yeah, and especially if, and then you also can't do a group of three girls if two of them are single, one of them's in a relationship, because then the two of them will fuck off. It's very,
exactly.
You need a balance.
It is. It's
you
really, you need to, like,
as a single
you need
girl,
to join ex-gals and go in Discord so you have, like, a gaggle of people to go out with.
Because as a single girl, you need another single girl, but as a girl in a relationship, you need another girl in a relationship.
Yeah, because it's annoying if you're in the relationship and you're kind of being pushed into these situations that, of like, being in after sessions that could, your boyfriend's going to fucking kill you the next day if he sees, like, you're like, can you stop Instagram storying for one godforsaken minute? Like, what the fuck? I'm gonna get in trouble. I hate that shit.
So true. So girl, tell me about your question box. I'm
my
so excited
box.
To hear.
So yeah, I just love, I just feel like there was just such a, there was a pocket of time that was like such a deadly time for Dublin nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first kind of, my first club, if we talked about that, like
what
do you
year
remember
was it that you started going out in? How old
I'm
were you?
I'm trying to think. I was young.
Mm.
Because like I figured out a way to go out. I was like, I never went to like any school discos or anything like that. But I think it was like kind of fifth or sixth year. I had a friend from church. She was a Southsider and older than me. She was 18. So I think I was in fifth year or sixth year.
Okay.
Before I was 18. And she was a Southsider. She kind of knew town more than me. I think she went to the institute, so she knew clubs, and I hadn't. No one around my area, like in school, was really going to town. We'd go to like, you'd go to Tomango's, like in Portmarnock.
Yeah,
but she knew like Redbox, And she was like, we should go to Redbox. It's like this deadly club. And her neighbor gave, I always used her fake ID. And my mum, because she was from the church, mm-hmm. my mum thought that I was going over and hanging out with church people, you know? So she was like, oh, it's Grand Marion. Well, it gets fine.
Yeah.
But her mum was cool as fuck. She'd be letting us go out clubbing. And I'd go back and stay in her gaff. And like, my mum didn't know. It was great. And so I went to Redbox. But I know the first ever time I went to clubbing, you were still allowed smoke inside.
That's crazy.
So it was like a good ages ago.
2004?
Like, what the fuck age would I
be? I'm going to Google that while you still tell your story there. When did the smoking ban come
so in? So Redbox was like, and I think I got a couple question boxes about Redbox. Because like,
2004.
So what age would I have been?
16.
Wow.
Because I was 14.
Mad.
That's crazy.
So it was
I found a loophole too. That's how I started going out. Because my mom and dad, I was the same. I didn't go to any of the school discos or whatever. But I remember there was times where like I would try to go out. My mom and dad were so wise as well. Like they were wise to all the bullshit. Mm. Like I think because my mom and dad did all the bullshit. They never fell for the whole like, I'm going to stay in my friend's house. My mom would be like, okay, give me your friend's mom's number and I'll call them. And I'd be like, oh fuck. So I could never get away with that. But I found out they would let me go to concerts. Because then it was in fifth year, maybe end of fourth year, start of fifth year, so 16 or so. Mm-hmm. I remember being like, I'm going to go to this concert. My mom was like, okay. And I remember I did go to a concert and I came home at like 2 a.m. and she didn't give a fuck. And I was like, hold on. She lets me go to concerts. So all of a sudden, Jenny was going to concerts.
I'm a concert goer.
I was going, no, some of them randomly were, but I was going out. Fifth year was my peak. I don't know whether my first night out, I think my first night out was Eamon Doran's. And it was on like a Saturday night. Eamon Doran's were like iconic as fuck. And at the time I had a boyfriend and it was really hard to get in there. I never had a fake ID either. Do you ever have a fake ID?
No, I just used other people's.
Yeah, I never even used an ID. I don't know how I fucking got away with it. But in Eamon Doran's, it was because my boyfriend at the time's friend knew the bouncers. And if you went, you know, all these like weird rules. Like if you go up holding his hand, you'll get in. And he would literally go up holding about 6-7 girls.
No
like
way.
In and out. Got me in. I remember it was iconic. It was all indie music. But I think that night, because I'd gone once or twice, but that was my first like proper like girls night out in Doran's. I'd broken up with the fella, got a pass back of an ID off a girl in my year. Mm-hmm. And I remember I like scored some guy in there in my school who was in sixth year, but like my fella who was in his year like hated, and I was like ha ha ha, but he was a shy kisser. But I remember it was so iconic. And then I went there, and then I went to the Hub as well, which doesn't exist anymore.
It's mad. Like I'm really trying to like remember, because that whole it was like it was just wild going to Redbox from like, you know, I felt like I was thrown in at the deep end because I hadn't really gone to bars.
We must have looked in those clubs. Like I'm 16 year olds.
Like I remember, like, because my mom and dad wouldn't be like pub goers, so I really wasn't in pubs or let alone a club. So I remember walking into Redbox. And like you had to go up the stairs, and I think it was like all these deadly lights. I was like, this is like hell. It's all red.
The Christian
and
pops
dark.
And everyone's being
fucking
like,
love it.
And everyone's like gyrating on each other.
It was like sweaty. You would touch the walls and they would be damp of sweat. And like I came back with like,
I fucking love it.
Oh, I was like, this shit.
So Redbox was pod, right?
Yeah. So you'd kind of go up. It was just the layout was fucking mental. And someone wrote to me on my question box and said that the roof fell through of Redbox. We used to call it Sweatbox as the nickname Sweatbox, because it was like literally so enclosed. And like everyone's smoking. You'd be getting cig burns all over you. And I kissed like a 35-year-old. I was fucking kissing like older guys. And I kissed this guy and I was everything but girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd be like sucking people off. And
what?
Like,
oh, when you were 16?
Yeah, I think I burnt that fucking memory.
I know. You did that when you were 16?
Yeah, like
really?
Like around the back of a fucking club.
Oh my God.
I know, mental.
I don't think you've ever told me that before.
I kind of just vaguely remember it. Like I'm so fucking like out of it. Yeah. And I'd be kissing like these 35-year-olds. And then I remember like I met them in fucking Stephen's Green for walks. Like a week later, we'd be like, do you want to go for a walk? And then I'd be like seeing them in the hard cold day and being like, what the fuck? Wandering around Stephen's Green, maybe having a kiss and then going home. and never talking to him again because he looked so different out of the club.
Yeah, he probably looked like a big owl.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God. What? I loved.
Like, one guy was living in a hostel.
What?
He had dreads.
So you. I loved Crawdaddy, which was downstairs in Tripod.
The smoking area?
Oh, like, that was, like, I loved that. So you'd be, remember the queue would go along the smoking area, you'd be like shouting into people. It's,
yeah.
If anyone doesn't know, it's where the hardcore Lewis stop is. That like empty building. That was like one of the best fucking clubs ever.
And it was
ever.
Heaving.
Oh, like antics on a Wednesday night. That was Dublin's first indie night.
That is.
Like iconic. I remember they'd always have bands on first. So the band would play from 9 till 11 p.m. And the trick was, this is how we would get in when we were underage. We would go in for the band and the band would finish up around 10:30. And then you'd hide in the toilets until, because like there was no bouncer at 9 o'clock. So you could go in for the band and like drink in the toilets. And then they'd like kind of, usually they'd kick everyone out to the smoking area while they set up for antics, and we would hide in the toilets, and then because then you don't need to get ID'd, so we just like stay in the club. And
amazing.
I don't know how we got away with it. They'd also sell 5 blue wickets for a tenner.
Yum.
I've worst hangover of my life though. I remember once
wickets are so sugary.
Well, we mixed it with vodka.
Let's do that some night. Just
oh
for
no
fun.
I couldn't. I actually really vomit.
See, I never get like that. Like I have vomited out like that thankfully never came to me. You know when people are like, oh, I can never drink rum after one night. I get over it.
No, there's some drinks that sugary shit I can't with alco pops, like because of how bad that hangover was.
I kind of miss the long neck. You know the way they've changed the design of the Wicked bottle? It's like kind of short and stumpy now.
Oh,
they've,
is it?
They've made it look like a kind of bespoke gin.
Oh.
Like it's still that blues.
Blue Wicca,
but it's like, it doesn't have the long neck, and that's just so iconic
to me.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Remember club memberships?
Yeah, this I remember hearing them. This was defo before my time.
An iconic, weird moment. It would be more so with the bigger clubs.
Yeah.
Mangoes, you'd have a, it was like a black card with like Tamangos.
I remember knowing and hearing of people being like, he'll get you in because he's a member. Like you'd always get in with someone who was like, you know, if you were trying to get in when you were underage, like walk up at Stewie, he's a member of 21s or whatever
like,
it was.
A friend of the pod wrote, I had a membership to Spirit.
Where was Spirit again?
Was it
I'm going to Google it.
Which cost 500 quid. I had a membership to Spirit, which cost 500 quid, and I still had to pay in full price on Saturdays.
So I Googled it. It was the Academy of Spirit.
Because I'm thinking of Time, which I never went to. Time was in Nace, and they used to have an ad on the television.
No way!
And it looked crazy. I remember I was like, I need to somehow get there. How the fuck can I get to Nace? Because it was like this massive, big club, and it had all clocks. And like
so clock Celtic everywhere. Tiger.
I know. And they had those like women like from the ceiling, you know, like
oh, like aerial performers. Yeah. Oh my God, like super club shit.
It looked it was like a super club.
Because like there was an area of Dublin as well that was so like that's not what it was. Where you know where the Nightlinks go? That used to be all clubs. That's why like remember 21s. Reds was across the road where Lafayette is. Reds was iconic.
See, that's what, and I think Reds was my second club that I went
to.
So first club was Red Box, and then I was like, hold on, why are they all red?
I know, it's red.
And it very much made me feel like I was going to hell.
Yeah. You know, especially the Christian.
Because the guilt of going out, and I was like, oh my God. Because
Reds, I think, was €2 drinks on a Tuesday. Because I remember that.
Did you go to Reds?
No, I remember my boyfriend at the time, he was in 6th year and he went. I never went because they would go on a Tuesday. I could never
Reds
get away with going away out on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I don't know how I did.
I think maybe they also went out on Saturdays and stuff, but I remember Tuesday. Maybe during summer.
Reds, again, someone wrote something about Reds. Let me find it. Walking down the stairs to Reds. So Reds.
Yeah, it was downstairs.
It was downstairs.
Underground.
And the tiny ceiling. The ceiling was so low.
I think I have been in it because I remember that fucking ceiling.
Even the young ones could like.
Yeah, you could touch
the
ceiling.
And it would be wet.
Yeah, it was dripping. It would like drips of sweat.
And I'm pretty sure they had gender neutral bathrooms.
Yeah. So did Wax. Do you remember Wax?
I don't think I went there.
Wax. I went there for my 18th birthday.
Oh my God.
Wax was so fucking iconic.
Where was Wax?
It was downstairs in Spy.
Okay.
So you know Spy
yes,
was that whole
go.
Building. Mm-hmm. And Wax was more kind of like techno. But someone wrote into my box, actually. My box sounds wrong. It was actually a guy who I used to go out with, not romantically, just out and out. We would go out clubbing together in our same group of friends. And he was like, he was like, wax on Wednesdays. I remember that. And he was like, there'd be lads with 2 liter bottles of poppers. People were just, that was like Popperville.
No way. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Wax was iconic, actually.
There's something about going down the stairs. Like, I remember that with Reds. Like, you'd be going down and it was like you were like submitting to this, like, experience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It was very immersive.
Yeah, it was. And like, I was just having so much fun there, and I was getting with so many foreign men. I had a Parisian boyfriend for 2 weeks, barely speak English, but he called me princess.
Oh,
which
I
kind of hated it.
Oh, really?
I was like, he was like, my princess. I was like, ew, what the fuck?
Princess. Oh my God.
And I think like my sisters met him once and he called me princess in front of
Scarlett.
My sisters looked at me like, are you for fucking real? And I was like, shut up. Let's see what else we have. Memories. Cunt in Lost Society. Around with cunt stamped on your whole forearm. Remember trying to hide that from your mum?
Lost Society. We were talking about that earlier. That's what spy turned into. Now, yeah. Cunt originally was a Tuesday night thing in Crawdaddy.
Yes, it was.
At one point, when we were hanging out with all the people that we used to go to clubs with, they lived on the South Circular Road, so right around the corner from Harcourt Street, mm-hmm. and we would go to Crawdaddy every night. Like, you could just turn up there and be like, "Hey, what's on tonight?" Cunt was on Tuesdays. There was something on Wednesdays, and there was another one on. Like, they had like all these different nights. But yeah, that was gas by cunt. That the stamp was massive,
it was huge,
your whole
so
forearm,
thick.
And it just said cunt.
And like people would be going around with it on their necks, on their forehead.
Yeah, they'd get it stamped on their head,
and it was so hard to get off. You'd be showering, like scrubbing the fucking.
Oh,
arm
I'd be
off
going
yourself.
Into college with full on cunt on my arm.
What the hell?
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. We're not actually saying cunt.
Yeah.
It's a club night, mom.
Because it's every Tuesday and I'll see you next Tuesday.
I'll see you at the club night.
When I go, it's cool.
My friend Clancy, shout out Clancy, wrote, remember the night in the academy and they wouldn't let you in unless you were dressed cool?
No,
I don't know that, but
the
I need
academy.
To know.
We went to the academy one night.
When?
Remember, we were just talking about it there.
That
night with that, I kissed that tattooed man.
Oh yeah, that was a cool club. I like the academy.
I'm not mad at the academy. It's too weird. Like
I'm getting mixed up. Hold on. Is the academy where?
Abbey Street.
Yeah. No, I'm getting mixed up of Club M.
Club M
in Temple
town.
Bar.
That's
in
another
Temple Bar.
OG club. I never went there.
I like layout. I like a weird explorative layout.
Yeah, that's why
like
I love Spy.
Yeah.
Spy was so good because it was all tiny rooms. So mm-hmm. nothing ever felt like empty and weird. But like you could go, there was like the sitting area, there was a dancing room, there was another dancing room. Then you go down. Like it was so fun. We would literally be running up the
it's
stairs
like
all
a
night.
Maze.
Yeah, it was like downstairs for a little bit, upstairs for
and
a little
the
bit.
Only time I kind of felt like that recently was when we went for my birthday last year to Flippin' Cafe on Seine.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was like,
there's
this
elevators.
Like, it's like I'm in a shopping centre, but it's a club. There's elevators.
That was so fun.
I know.
That was so
I love
fun.
A club as well with a massive mix of people.
Yeah.
Like there's the casual 40-year-old, there's the random hen party, there's like us being freaks.
Yes. Cafe on Seine is a random flex of a night out. I have to say, you do have fun there. Like
you really
and
do.
I never would
it's, and it's so Celtic like, Tigery.
Yes. It's ironic fun.
Like the decor.
The decor. There's so many levels. There's always like 30th birthday on this balcony and all these balconies
it's,
everywhere.
You get lost. Remember we were up in the VIP? We're like, why the fuck do we get
down? And then downstairs is so open and there's always man salsa dancing.
Yeah, ta-ta.
Ta-ta. And also for such a big club, tiny smoking area.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So weird.
I'll never get that with clubs. It's like, make your smoking area the correct size for your club.
Yeah.
Because we're all singing.
Like, remember that with Barcode.
Oh my
Barcode,
God.
I was like, this is stardust waiting to happen. You couldn't get out for a smoke.
Do you remember
literally
they
like-
had Gladiator playing? They, you know that thing in the Gladiators with like the big, like it looks like a big Q-tip?
The foam
yeah.
Q-tip.
You could play that in the smoking area of Barcode. You could play Gladiators.
Pissed.
What?
On a high thing.
On a high, like tightrope kind of thing. You whack each other off.
Again,
like,
it was
Whoa.
Such a weird experience having to go through the little...
And past
Hutch.
The pool.
Yeah, you past go. The pool and there'd be the odd punter.
Yeah, well, we still I swimming. Used to still swam. And I remember we'd swim in Westwood and like every Thursday night you'd see people go in like in all their clothes.
Oh my goodness, you would get dressed the fuck up. And the queue to Barcode was so
crazy.
Long.
Do you remember the queue to the last Barcode? Because remember, there was always rumored it's like the last barcode, the last barcode.
Why did they close, I wonder?
They lost their, I think it was from letting younger people underage in. Yeah, because they were just known for it. They got caught by the guards and they lost their license or some
We went insane. Like when we were there, like, I mean, the lads in my year were fully like, their other lads were like carrying them out. Like they would be actually legless. Like they couldn't walk.
Barcode was murder at Barcode.
It was insane.
And my whole school would go there because like it was in Clontarf and our school was in Clontarf. So like my whole school,
it was like an outing. It was like an excursion.
People from the south side used to come because it was right by the dart station.
And it was just so huge. It was massive. Like you could get a chicken curry.
You could get a kebab. You get anything there.
Samantha Mumba would be bopping around.
Always Samantha Mumba would be there.
What's her brother, Omar?
Omar. Oh, he'd be there. Gorgeous.
Oh, stunning. I
really fancied him
stunning.
Back in the day.
The digital camera and uploading every pic with a caption. Like, that was so fun. So it was the era of like club photography.
Yeah.
And then also just in case. Because you know when you'd spot the photographer and you'd be like trying to pose, trying to get him to...
Yeah.
You'd be like, Peter Fingleton, would you...
Peter Fingleton.
For fuck's sake, take my picture.
Peter Fingleton. And you would literally be... I'd be like thrashing my hair because they'd always shoot it on like real... What's it like? Not low... Is it low exposure when it goes like...
You can see all the lights.
Yeah. So like it would be a real low exposure. So if you moved loads or if you were dancing like near James Kavanagh,
yes,
you'd always be in a photo. Because James would be like climbing on top of things. Peter would be taking photos of him. So funny.
And the flash was so... like bright. So bright, your skin would be like washed out. It would look gorgeous.
Okay, on Instagram we have to post a few old I have them on my Facebook 100%.
It would be the best thing ever if you got a good one that you could use for your profile. You'd be like, fuck yes,
like new profile pic. Yes. Me and James every Friday or every Saturday, should I say, because Friday war was on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then like Saturday we'd be like sitting on our computer like pursed lips, waiting for the like, Peter Fingleton tagged you in a photo. That was when you knew you were cool too, that your friends weren't tagging you in Peter's. Peter tagged you.
Yeah, but also if you did get photographed by Peter, it was a flex to fuck.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, I was going to nightclubs because he was
We'd be like, Peter's taking pics. James would literally say that. He'd be like, Peter's taking pics tonight. We'd be like, quick, get your best clobber on.
I know.
Full face.
He was so good. Like, shots he'd take. I'd have it as my profile for like 3 months.
Oh, well, that was like the biggest flex. Your profile, for your profile pic to have the watermark of Peter Fingleton photography down the bottom. Do you know Evan used to do them? I remember we used to call it like the old people night. It was gossip on Saturday in Spy. And me and James were like, that's for old people. They're probably like 28.
Oh God.
But Evan used to take pics of them. And like, he went through them a while ago. And like, he has pictures of people that like, his best friend Janan's wife is in one of the pictures. He's like, there's Rachel.
That is so gas.
He's like, so gas.
I love that. And didn't Evan also recently find a barcode key ring?
Yes,
like
of him,
that
his
is
friends.
Iconic. You could get those in Tomangos as well.
Yeah, they'd take a pic of you and your friends, they'd make it into a key ring.
A little memory of your club
night out. And Evan's wearing like a suit jacket. And he was like, I remember thinking, whoa, I'm really well dressed.
Sorry, he wore suit to fucking barcode.
No, jeans, a suit jacket, and a polo.
I remember my friend from school was like tall and she was so insecure about her tallness.
Kitten heels?
Yes.
But
she insisted on wearing, she got these red or dead kitten heels and they were like 60 euro. We were like, what the fuck? You spent 60 euro. She was the first one to use MAC makeup as well. We were like, whoa,
shit.
Okay. Wow, we're really doing it. So this is a 4-part one.
Okay.
Consoling my bestie in a cubicle and her boyfriend came in and poked his head into the cubicle to check if she was okay. And she closed the door on his head and he was stuck. His head was stuck between the door and the door frame and she wouldn't let go. What the fuck? What the actual fuck? His face when he was stuck lives rent free in my head. Poor guy.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Unreal. Licking the stamps to pass them on to your mates. Remember that?
Oh my God. Yes. The transfer on your wrist.
So
lick
hard.
The stamp.
And then getting caught for
and
that.
And you never worked.
No. And you'd be so
thrown
mortified.
Out. Get the fuck out of the club.
You didn't pay in here.
Fiver. Remember trying to get, remember, oh, do you know what was,
remember
that?
Cheap List?
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say, do you remember the scarlation of having
gosh,
to comment,
yes.
Can I have Cheap List?
Oh my God.
I'd be like because so me, there'd be some nights where James would be like, because there was some people who'd be on the door that would let us in for free.
Yeah.
But they weren't always on the door.
And it was never guaranteed.
Never guaranteed. Like, there's a few people that would be always guaranteed with, but it was always this thing of like, every time I'd be on guest list, Like, I'd be going, I went to war for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be turning up and they're like, Jenny. I'm like, for fuck's sake.
I know. And guys, sometimes you're just not on the list.
I know.
They forget like, to put you on.
And then you have to call Dave or whatever get him. It was too embarrassing.
So, like, and you're like, thank you.
And they're like, yeah, go on in. You're like, fuck.
I know. You scolded.
Scarlet. Because you didn't want to pay a fiver.
I
so
know.
But then you pay a tenner. So that's why you'd get a backup cheapest. Because that was a fiver.
Yes, just in case.
But the scarlation of seeing that, I remember James.
How did you have to do it again?
They would post the event.
Okay.
They remember Facebook event pages?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to comment on the page, can I have cheap list, please? And I remember James being like, I would never.
I know, but James would fucking, he always got in free.
Yeah.
Always.
Did. Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to. We did. Because like.
The odd time, yeah. Like, I mean. I think if I was ever pre-drinking with James, that whole, us as a whole group would just get
in
free.
I know, that was a way. But if there's you were kind of going out with a...
There was some nights. War was always guaranteed, but there was some nights where touch and go.
Our large group that we used to party with.
Yeah.
There was a class system within that.
Yeah.
You know, like James Kavanagh and
our... A caste system.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like different...
Oh yeah, caste system. Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant, not class system.
Lower class.
It was, but in a sense of like, you know, there was the like creme de la creme, mm-hmm. and they got in free everywhere and everyone wanted to be around them because of that. Like, mm-hmm. it was like street cred. But then there was kind of like the newer gays,
mm-hmm.
and they were more like the deals version and they wouldn't get in free. So you had to kind of, it was kind of like you had to be careful who you mixed with if you wanted to get into the club.
We were
free.
Known as the club rats.
Yeah. And it was so fun.
Which was so true. We were club rats. We went to every single club night there was.
Yeah. And you felt like this kind of hierarchy of like, I know, I own this club.
Do you know what the biggest rite of passage was?
Mm-hmm.
The VIP smoking area in Crawdaddy. Up the stairs, looking out over the other smoking area.
Oof.
That balcony, if you were up in that balcony. And there was some nights where James and I would like try and go in. They'd be like, no. We'd be like, what the fuck? And that was so embarrassing if you got caught trying to go up those stairs and they said no to you. Oh,
cringe.
God. But then there was other nights we'd be up there for the whole damn night and we thought we were so fucking cool. Because sometimes you get up to the VIP area and then you'd be afraid to leave because if you can't get back up.
It was just wild. There were so many clubs. Talk about, because there's been some that like I'm just so upset that I didn't get to experience these clubs.
Yes.
And one of them is Bondi Beach Club.
Bondi Beach
on the Keys.
Club.
And it was also called Zanzibar.
Yeah.
So when it was Zanzibar, it was like a masquerade kind of thing.
I guess so,
theme.
Yeah.
It was like purple and gold. I remember like...
So gas calling it Zanzibar. Like a random place in Africa. It's called the club that.
Club names are hilarious.
Bondi though was... There was one in Stillorgan too.
Yeah, I think it was
in
bigger.
In Stillorgan Shopping Centre, I think. I've never been there, but I remember hearing the ads on the radio. They'd be like, Bondi Beach Club Stillorgan.
And it'd be, and they'd say like... I never went there, but I've heard.
Oh.
And I just cannot believe I didn't get to experience that moment in time in history, in clubbing history. There was a jacuzzi, like a hot tub.
Was there?
In the fucking thing.
And it was covered in sand. And people said that they'd come home from that night out.
Actual sand.
And you'd go into the shower and your shower would be full of sand.
But like there was condoms apparently floating around this jacuzzi. Like, what? How is that happening?
I remember Evan said that he went to, because I asked him, I was like, have you ever been to Bondi? And he's like, oh yeah, one's me. He's like, one's me and the lads went there to a foam party. And like, we'd never been to a foam party before. And he goes, we were all dancing and one of the lads is on like, you know, the way that has like a slightly higher platform. He saw all the foam and he thought if he jumped into it, he'd like float. And he just jumped into it. There was like a him-sized shape. Just dunk.
No. Ouch. Foam parties
that
were
cracks
wild.
Me up.
They were so wild.
You'd come out so wet.
But like,
freezing. Do you remember the freezingness?
Oh my goodness. But like you're slipping around the club.
Yeah. It's very liquid.
It's dangerous as fuck. Like I remember my first one was in Spain, which like it makes sense in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing flip flops to the club. You're like.
It's just, hot out.
Yeah. But it was fucking everywhere and it was all on my throat. And for the whole week of my 6 year holiday, I was like.
I remember that this taste
cough.
Of soap in your mouth. Do you remember another random
soap throat?
Yes, sick. Do you remember another random club night that they would have? They always had this at Freshers Week in college, a traffic light party.
Oh, if you were single.
You'd wear red if you were in a relationship, green if you were single, and orange if you were unsure. If you're kind of like up for the ride, but like kind of seeing someone.
Oh my gosh, that is iconic.
Consensual as fuck.
Yeah. But like, I mean, it was just so much more like back in the day, like there was a switch. Jenny and I always talk about this. There was a switch. Like, there was the club nights. Like, remember that night me and you went to Madonna's and we were like snogging the face off, lads?
Oh my God, yes. That was so, I mean, the pictures we have of that night, these lads like cradling us.
I know.
So weird. So weird. Disposable, of course.
Yeah. But even back in the day, you were wearing a Nasty Gal dress.
Original Nasty Gal, I'll have you know. Not Boohoo, like, Nasty Gal.
It was so, so, we fucking
and
loved that
fucking
dress.
Studded collar. And Harley Davidson boots and a bandeau dress with thin eyebrows and black hair.
Our eyebrows were like so
no, they were
thin.
Like one hair thin.
Yeah,
we both wore bandeau dresses.
We loved a bandeau moment.
Yeah, we did,
because we'd grunge it up.
We'd grunge
our,
it up, man.
With our leather jackets and our
what do you think, like, one of our most iconic nights out that we shared was from back in the day?
Let me think. It's so hard to separate them.
I know. I think that Madonna night was pretty iconic.
Because that was very random of us.
It was also like a few different places.
And we
went
out
just the
two of us.
That. That was one of my favorite things to do. Lindsay and I would go out just the two of us. And we would go to like six different pubs.
And just wander around.
And do you know what we loved as well? Pitchers of beer.
Oh yeah. Remember that pub up near
NCID?
Yeah, Thomas.
And I was painting my nails on in the bar.
We just go to random pubs and get pictures. And then, because Jenny and I would be like, we'd want to get in like to a certain, we wanted to get into like, we were really interested in like music and stuff like that. But like, it was a really hard, like that group were really hard to penetrate. They were kind of snobby and they like, you know, we loved the fucking gigs and shit.
Yeah.
Like, shout out David Balf. We fucking saw him back in Fibbers.
Yeah, and he was the only sound
day.
One to us.
So
Fibbers I did love. Ooh, I love Fibbers night
sick.
Out.
And like, so we've always been really interested in music and that kind of was like a new kind of clubbing scene for us that we wanted to like get into. By the way, we fucking loved David Balf back in the day and he's going to be on Jules Holland.
Yeah. Well, when you listen, he'll have already been on.
Yeah, so
Shout out.
We recognize cool music fucking before it was cool. But yeah, like you were, you know, that friend who like is more willing to kind of go to the different club nights. So that's what we were to for each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd be up for like just like proper clubbing, kissing like a Brazilian lad in Madonna's. Yeah. And then another time we'd be like, no, let's, you know, go to this fucking club night and mosh. Or go to Fibbers and mosh.
Do you know what was another great club that we haven't mentioned? Was Twisted Pepper.
Yeah, Twisted Pepper.
I always had a great night there. That was fun there. I had a lot of college nights out there.
Yeah, very collegey moment.
And it was always like, are you upstairs or downstairs? The last time we were in Twisted Pepper, we got a guy kicked out.
Oh yeah, because he pinched both of our bums.
He pinched both of our arses and we got him kicked out. That, and he was a creep.
No, he was... I've not been in that situation many times in the club.
Twisted Pepper is so random because when you're in the main bar, it was like a cafe. It was so bright and like you're like in booths but locked. Just like.
I know. I always was like, you know when like there's a time that like we were all staying in Twisted Pepper and we were there every weekend.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is such a confusing club.
Yeah. You'd always miss people.
And you had to pay different to get upstairs and downstairs. So
sometimes
you didn't have to pay
to go upstairs.
You didn't have free roaming.
No, sometimes you did.
And
you'd
rarely be at the back part.
Yeah, but you'd always be downstairs.
I'm like, why didn't they ever open that? That was a deadly...
Twisted Pepper was always a place where I'd end up snogging the face off someone.
Really?
Yeah, it's so dark. I feel like you'd end up snogging.
I remembered another one.
What?
Workman's.
Workman. Remember you had to go home from Workman's because you had a UTI?
Oh my goodness, the taxi man had to carry me. I had such a bad UTI. It like went right up to my kidneys and I was doubled over.
And we were all out normal. And all of a sudden you were like, I have to leave.
It just hit me like a fucking ton of bricks. The taxi man literally had to carry me up my little steps. And
where were you back in the day when we were going out to clubs or like on big nights out? Where were you like guaranteed, I'm going to have a good night? I have to think. Mine, Fibbers, I always have a good night in. Always have a good
especially I did
night
feel like
Fibbers.
A lot with Fibbers we would go when there was like a planned kind of event.
Yeah, we had an event, but like even remember that time we went to Fibbers and there wasn't, we just played pool.
Yeah, so
that was
fun.
So fun. Crawdaddy, always had fun. Now there was some nice sort of shit, but I always had fun. There was always a good crowd at Crawdaddy.
I didn't frequent Crawdaddy that much. I think only a few times.
Oh really? I was there quite too often.
I think that was just before we kind of met. So by the time I met you,
maybe
that everyone was going to war.
Well, we went to war before Crawdaddy. Crawdaddy was very solid in my entire going out because I started going there for Antics and then Antics ended. And then because war was on before Cunt brought back Crawdaddy. That's what like made Crawdaddy cool again. But it was on a Tuesday. So
and
maybe
what is it now?
Crawdaddy's gone. It's just closed. There's nothing in it. It's barren.
They're just all closed. That's what's so weird. Like, we had Bondi Beach Club. We had Madonna's. Like, Madonna's was downstairs in Eamon Doran's. And it was, like, all UV lights. I flippin' loved it.
Eamon Doran's is iconic as well. A rock bar.
A rock bar.
And it was owned by...
Also Whelan's.
The guy from the Fun Loving Criminals, wasn't it? That and Voodoo Lounge.
Chewy, really?
Yeah.
Voodoo Lounge was another weird one. Like, you'd...
You'd always never go to gigs there.
You'd never go there. And if you, and when you did go to a gig, it's the most random crowd.
And you feel like you're walking for hours to get there. Even though it's just down the quays. But you'd be like, where the fuck is
this
place?
Same with Whelan's. I was like, why is it so far away?
Whelan's, yeah. That was always one that was hard to get into as well when you were younger, I found. Like, it was always one that people would get, one of you would get in. And you'd be like, for fuck's sake.
It's so wild. I remember in War was definitely, I think, for us, like an iconic.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a homing ground, like every
It's where
weekend.
We met, like, all our friends.
Yeah, we met all our friends, and it was just a given. What I loved about that time is that it was, like, guaranteed that you were going. There was no question.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you didn't have to really, like, plan nights out. The night was planned because the club night, you
know? Yeah, 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 yeah. And like it was the same night every night, the same crowd.
Yeah.
So that was the best thing about
didn't,
it.
And you just had to figure out where to pre-drink, where we were going.
Yeah.
And go. Mm. You know, it wasn't like, will we go clubbing? Like, it was an every weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Club nights were great. They don't really have, well, maybe they do. I always say this because I'm always like, they don't have club nights anymore. I'm like, I'm sure they fucking do. We're just too old to know about
them. I don't
think
they have as many, and I don't think it's as prominent as it was back then because, like, club nights like Club Comfort or Berlin Bar, they aren't as, they're few and far between in comparison. Like, when I first went to college, there was not club nights.
Oh,
there
really?
There was no club nights. Like, when I went to NCAD, there was nothing on in town. You'd go to the, like, I'd go to the local pubs in, on Thomas Street. Like, you'd go to the
Clock. And that's a very NCAD flex, though.
But there weren't club nights.
Really?
And then they just really started.
Yeah, during the recession, they came around again.
So hopefully, I'm hoping, and I'm putting out this out there, I'm hoping, like, post-COVID, that the rebirth of the club night will come.
Hopefully.
Because it's so fun to have something designed for fun. Like, because there was that switch of, like, we used to all go clubbing. Like, remember that night we had where we pre-drank in Mine, and then we went to Twisted Pepper with, like, Fiona and Sarah, and we all, like, dressed the same. We got the bus in.
Yeah.
Drinking on the bus, like, so much fun. But then, yeah, there was a switch. So we'd go to, like, Twisted Pepper and we'd get, like, so sweaty, dancing our fucking tits off. And you'd feel great. But then we stopped dancing. Why did we stop dancing?
When did we stop dancing?
And then I began to wonder. Anya wrote, I broke my wrist in 6-inch heels 6 months later, chopped off the tip of my finger, both in the same club. Lasted the entire night and after session with the broken wrist.
Oh, my. Do you remember, Eamon Doran's was a known place for people falling down the stairs.
So was War. Remember, I remember, I fell down that stairs.
Which one, in Spy or in Andrew's Lane?
Andrew's Lane.
Oh, Andrew's Lane was bad.
It was like a metal stairs. And yeah. It was so long. It was so long. Oh my goodness. And I remember Kyle, we were like dancing on the like little stage and he was like kind of leaning me back and dancing like we were in Dirty Dancing and he fucking dropped me off. I swear to God, my arse. You know when you actually fall and when you're drunk and you're like, oh no, that's a bad one.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, I've fully broken my coccyx bone. Yeah.
Disclosure, playing in Crawdaddy and one of them was only 17. So they had to have their dad with them and then played a rave in the basement of a Creole restaurant in Temple Bar.
What? One of them was only 17.
How bizarre. Fucking gas. Club 21s, did you ever go there?
I never went to 21s,
it
no.
It was pretty dark.
Yeah, I think by the time that was lit, I remember being like, that's real uncool. It was real like basic vibe, very Croppers vibe.
It was very, yeah, it was like...
What was the one beside 21s? There was one 21s and then there was one up from it and then there was Reds. There was three of them and I can't remember the other fucking name of the place.
There was another one as well, which I never went to, Fireworks, which was near St. Mark's Church. Sorry.
I don't know where that is.
My parents used to go to that church. It was like, and it was actually an old fire station.
Oh my God.
So you were partying in a fucking old fire station. How cool is that?
So we wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for all these memories, guys. Like, amazing.
So fun. And
like, so fun.
Here's hoping we see you all on a dance floor soon. But yes. I hope you guys liked. And you know what? I'll put up a little question box maybe of like on the It Girls page and you can tell us some iconic memories of club nights
we'll
or something
them.
Like that. Or
and let's bring it back when she gets back to normal. Let's bring it back and get her cool pics cameras out.
Okay, gals. Talk
Bye,
to you all
gals.
Next week. Bye.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.